This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Who you guys want, Antonio or Odell? Antonio or Odell?
I'll take the guy who is on a team that they want and in our division.
Okay, Odell. The Odell Beckham story that is not going away is the 49ers may be a potential trade partner for Odell Beckham, which is very strange because I'm pretty sure he signed his massive extension 1 year ago. And apparently they were thinking about trading Odell Beckham before they signed him to the giant extension until it was the New England Patriots that were pushing the hardest. And then the Giants went, oh no, the Patriots want him. Maybe he's awesome and we should just keep him. But the rumors won't go away. And Jay Glazer's the one that really got it going because Jay Glazer doesn't make things up. He'll just once in a while poke his head out from wherever he's hanging out, like MMA fighting, and be like, hey, by the way, I think Odell Beckham's going to get traded, and then pop back down, and then he'll disappear for 6 months and break another story later. So he didn't pull that out of nowhere. So the idea is that it could be the 49ers that could end up being the team if the Giants do move on from Odell Beckham. They've got the 36th overall pick in the 2019 draft. They got the number 2 overall pick, and they think somewhere between there, you might be able to make something work where you send them the number 2 overall pick and maybe they send something back to you to balance it all out. But so the Odell Beckham possibility of being traded, it ain't dead. He could be on the move. The Rams are another team that's being floated as a possibility, which is just insane to me if you're the Giants. Why would you move on from one of the best receivers in the league?
Mm-hmm.
You gave him his money. You're going to take a cap hit to trade him.
All you need is a quarterback. It's not him.
Yeah, how about worrying about that?
Yeah.
How about worrying about who's playing quarterback for you? But Odell Beckham, it ain't dead. Be prepared. He could be moved. And then Antonio Brown. By the way, these are the two highest paid receivers in football.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them apparently are unhappy. Mike's right. You don't want to deal with wide receivers. They're tough to deal with.
Except for
They're
Amari.
They're tough to deal with. Except for Amari. We got the right one.
We got the right one.
And we do need to rewind to last hour when we were talking about how everybody celebrates first down so much because all the texters pointed out. And you're right. We do have one of the worst defenders.
Oh, well, it started with him.
Well, no. I'm talking about now.
Oh, okay. I mean, I feel like Michael Irvin started
But now Ezekiel Elliott could get 3 yards on second and two, and he's going to get up and walk 11 yards while eating and then The play clock's going to run 3/4 of the way down before he gets back to the huddle.
That's true.
Now, Antonio Brown. The latest on Antonio Brown. Observation, not a shot fired.
No. Give him that work. He earned it.
Observation.
That's too much. It's obnoxious.
It's 10 yards.
It's too much. Cam Newton does the dab and the Superman every 5 yards. Like, come on, man. It's obnoxious.
They need to start the play clock when they hit the ground and be like, get back in the huddle, sir. Antonio Brown, he's having a great time on social media trying to force his way out of Pittsburgh right now. So he did an Instagram Live video, and he was on the elliptical. He's cruising, kind of Mark Cuban style.
Right.
He's on the elliptical talking to Instagram.
Sweating.
And some of the things he said, if your squad wants to win and your squad wants a hungry wide receiver who's the best in the whole world, someone hit my phone. Which, by the way, would be tampering. So if you're out there and you are in charge of a team and you saw him say that, don't listen to him. That would be tampering. Tell him I ain't doing no unguarantees. I ain't even going to play myself no more for this NFL. I think I done everything. What y'all think? What's left for me to do? Win a Super Bowl? Got to be the right team for that, right? If your team got guaranteed money, they want to get to know me and work with me, tell them to call me. Will Antonio Brown play for the Steelers this year or someone else? I still say it's the Steelers.
I agree with you because what's
too much dead money?
$19 million cap hit?
You had 21, I believe.
Woo!
$21 million. So you would pay basically what you would pay him if he's there for him to be gone. And now, like now, not only are you trying to force your way out of Pittsburgh, which is far fetched because no one has ever taken a $20 million cap hit to give away a Hall of Famer in their prime. So not only would that happen, but now you're letting it be known that I also want guaranteed money. I'm 30 years old. I want a new deal.
Mm-hmm.
My existing deal where I'm one of the two highest paid receivers in the league is not enough. I now need the guarantees thrown back into my deal. What are you giving up to trade for him and then burden yourself with $50 million guaranteed to a 30-year-old.
There are people throwing out.
Come on, Antonio.
About the Raiders. They were talking about the Raiders, and I was like, wait, well, the Raiders got these first-round draft picks. I'm like, but still, if I'm the Steelers, that's not – one of those picks is not enough. That's just not enough because you're taking on that $21 million talking about.
Second down around the NFL, Mikey B.
Okay, let me take this. I was looking here at some Ruggio door stats, which isn't for this segment. It is for the offseason needs of the NFC South. So we've been talking about the Cowboys to start the show. How about the Atlanta Falcons, teams that you're kind of competing with to make the playoffs? They need to tag or re-sign Grady Jarrett. That's the number one thing NFL.com says they need to do.
Or don't. Just let us have him, even though we'd never pay him.
Okay. It says bring competition depth to the offensive line. It says that they need a little bit of help in offensive line. In fact, when you read kind of a lot of these help, the Cowboys are one of the few teams that they don't have offensive line of one of the three needs.
Yeah.
I mean, so just remember that. When it comes to Cowboys, and you're like, oh, the offensive line, all the sacks. I get it, but
there is talent there.
There's a lot of teams that they're just like, man, we are just talent deprived in our five offensive line situations. And number three, it says add depth at running back. It says Freeman will be back, but Tevin Coleman is going to be a free agent and probably will depart. So they say that they need to maybe bring in another running back to help out Freeman.
Yeah, because Tevin Coleman's probably somebody's starter, right? Like, he's not going to pay – you're not going to break the bank for him, but somebody wants him to be their starting running back.
And then I guess they also say what could really help the Falcons out, if you didn't know, Dirk Cutter, they brought him back. So he was a major part of Matt Ryan's success as the offensive coordinator 2012 through 2014, and kind of losing him – started a process. Now, obviously, he had Shanahan, and Shanahan was great. But then once he lost Shanahan, it kind of went to poop for Matt Ryan somewhat overall. So they think bringing Dirk Cutter back can really help out
now, Dirk
their offense.
Dirk was supposed to be a quarterback guru, and that's why they fired Lovie Smith in Tampa Bay and made Dirk Cutter the head coach there, because they said, ooh, Dirk's a quarterback guru. Well, Jameson wouldn't listen.
Well, I mean, Ryan Fitzmagic was good for a minute.
Yeah,
the way he always is. He was good for a couple minutes.
Fitzsimmons magic.
We move on to the Carolina Panthers, and remember the offensive line stuff?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Upgrade the O-line for the Carolina Panthers. Number one thing that they need to do. Number two thing that they need to do, build a consistent pass rush. Now, Julius Peppers, I don't think he meant too much to them last year, but he did retire. It says possible fits for the Panthers 4-3 scheme include Brandon Graham, whose contract with the Eagles is due to expire. So I guess it's saying here, this is Maurice Jones-Drew, who wrote this, former running back, NFL.com guy now, is just saying that they probably need to look at building up a pass rush and maybe doing it through free agency for them.
All right, that's big money. You want to sign pass rush, congrats. You're going to give up some big money.
Number three, but it could help out the Cowboys if Brandon Graham doesn't go back to the Eagles.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Get playmakers for back end of defense. So it says re-signing Eric Reed was a start, but the Panthers still need the type of playmaker in the secondary that they've missed since Josh Norman left for Washington. So it's saying get somebody who can help turn over the ball. I think that's also
what
a Cowboys need,
yeah.
Too, even though the Cowboys had a pretty good back end of their defense. Number three, the New Orleans Saints. Now, I've already gone through these. Man, when you read the Saints, it looks like they're in pretty good shape. It says add depth and veteran leadership to secondary. And it talks about Marshawn Lattimore and how he looks to be, you know, a building block. But they had to go out and get Eli Apple, who is a guy who struggled in the NFL recently. So adding depth to their
– kind of fixed them too.
Yeah. So that's something that is – that's something that's – okay, we need Drew Brees. Get a tight end. Okay, I mean, it doesn't really hurt him too much. He almost won the MVP, but that's number two. Tight end is.
I don't think the thing is, when you look at that, that's like, okay, that's a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
Because the number of things that you're listing, it's like, wow, these are all very complimentary.
Yeah.
But when you look at the Cowboys, is there something glaring?
There's nothing.
They need bodies to play fourth receiver, and they need a body to play backup defensive tackle.
They need a whole new offensive scheme, somewhat.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
But in terms of the roster, you would look at it and be like, hey,
roster's
kind of there.
Solid. Number three for the Saints, and this is where they're just loaded. It says develop a young quarterback. It says that They don't have much cap space. Teddy Bridgewater most likely will go somewhere to compete for a job since Drew Brees is coming back. Drew Brees' career is coming to an end, but it would be nice for them if they can draft a guy somewhere and feel like they're developing the next guy to take over for Drew Brees. And then we get to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the team in the NFC South. It says, add an explosive running back.
They tried to do that last year with Ronald Jones in the second round, and I really liked him, and I have no idea what didn't work.
Okay. It's saying adding Le'Veon Bell would be something to take a lot of pressure off of Jameis Winston. So if you're looking for who would maybe want him, they're saying Tampa could really use a Le'Veon Bell to take pressure off of Jameis Winston.
Okay. I think Le'Veon Bell is just going to go to whoever's been bad enough that they're willing to guarantee a running back a ton of money. Okay. Like whoever it is that has all the cap space where you have $100 million, you're like, yeah, sure, give him some of it. That'll be fine.
And then number two and three I think are super obvious. It goes to their defense. Number two, sprinkle front seven with talent. It says they've already released Vinnie Curry and linebacker Kwon Alexander is due to hit the market. Their defense was terrible last year, starting with their front seven. So just saying, hey, they have to add talent to their front seven. And number three, they have to fix the secondary. The secondary was pathetic in Tampa Bay. They had one of the worst defenses in the NFL. So I would change it up. I would say number two for them is number one, figure out a better front seven. Number two, fix the secondary. And number three, and
pay Jameis and keep rolling, baby.
And number three, and I didn't know about Ronald Jones, is that number three should be the running back situation.
Never be number one.
I'm not as strong as Jeff on the running back thing, but I will say when you watch Tampa Bay, they were able to put up points. They just couldn't stop a human. They couldn't stop a team in the NFL from scoring a zillion points.
Yeah. All right, third down around the NFL. Here's Chris Arnold.
Can I sneak in a story that's going to either threaten the NFL or the NFL is going to be involved in it?
Yes, of course.
How about that AAF? I was calling it the Alliance AF. You know why I said that. I have changed my tune based upon this latest story that just happened. I guess it happened yesterday. Apparently, the league was on the verge of not being able to make payroll.
In the second week.
Yes.
They weren't going to be able to pay the players. And, who planned this?
And then out of nowhere.
You planned a whole pro sports league and you didn't have money to pay them?
The first time I saw the story, the headline, I went, what the hell? Because I was thinking, Alliance AF. That was the way I looked at it. This thing isn't going to last long. It's not being smart about what they're doing. I didn't even know about the money situation. I was like, okay, I don't know the concept would work unless it's involved in the NFL some kind of way. Well, they've been bailed out. And they've been bailed out by a name that some people in Dallas may know. He's actually a very good friend of mine. His name is Tom Dundon. Now, the headline,
you're rolling those circles, huh?
He was a regular guy, didn't have any kind of money, went to SMU, and all of a sudden he became a really big time. He's only like 41?
Really?
42. Tom Dundon.
He's doing well.
He is a business visionary. And I'm throwing that word out. I don't throw that word out real casually.
He owns the Carolina Hurricanes.
That's nothing. He just bought them last January. This is what Tom has done. And I used to run around and hang out with Tom. It was me and Tom and his buddy Blake. We used to run around, hang out all the time on the weekends and stuff. And he was working on this project where he was doing something, some car deals. He had a little restaurant in Fort Worth. I mean, this guy went to SMU, but he wasn't no big money guy from Highland Park. He's from like Houston. And then all of a sudden, he started making some money, making long-term business plays. I'm not going to call them deals. He'd like think about what something's going to be worth down the road.
Right.
He sold his little car thing to a company called Santander out of Spain. And that made him like a half a billionaire. So he's already like in his 20s at that point. And I'm like, Tom's balling. Then all of a sudden, Tom, he made a move where he said, I'm going to help these SMU guys and we're going to have this golf course down here called the Trinity Forest. And we're going to have the Byron Nelson over.
Oh, yeah.
So he managed the money. He got all these other people to kick in the money. He put the big money up front. He's managing that deal.
Oh, he owns then, Trinity Forest.
Yes. Then, okay, there's a big building downtown called AT&T. It's where AT&T. He bought that damn building. But he bought another building, too. That's got I'm like, look at Tom buying all these buildings. And then, like I said, he bought the Carolina Hurricanes. But there was another sly move that he did in 2010. This is when I knew Tom was a visionary. Tom put some money to this little golf company called Top Golf.
25% of it, it looks
it
like.
It made him a billionaire.
This is your buddy?
That's my buddy.
Does he have a boat?
I don't know about the boat.
I want to get on a boat.
I don't think he has time for the boat.
Okay.
But Tom is a great guy. He's low-key. He's quiet as a mouse. But this dude looks at the big play. So this is what I found. I was like, when I found out it was Tom that put up $250 million to save the AAF, I'm like, Tom's not throwing away money. Tom's got a lot of money, but there must be something in here that I don't know about. Then I found out what it was. Listen to this. The other investors in the AAF include, you know who Peter Thiel is? He invented PayPal.
Okay, he's doing well.
He's doing a billionaire. Well. Yeah. There's a couple of other people that got some money. You heard of Charles Ebersole? He's a TV icon.
Yeah, yeah.
His Dick Ebersole's his brother and all that. Anyway, that's the CBS connection. That's why it's on CBS. They've got a group of owners in this thing. They got long cash. But here's the play.
Why do they need saving?
They don't. That's what I'm saying. This
story. Oh, he's just buying in.
He's buying in. And by buying in with all of his money up front, instead of them getting it from a bunch of different people who all want in, they're able to control it better. He's going to be the, what is his title going to be? I guess he's the
CEO. He's the chairman. He's the chairman now chairman of the AAF.
Yes, they got this title now. But here's the deal about this league, which I find absolutely amazing. He saved it, and he's, like I said, he's the chairman of it now, but he's got other things that's going on. Here's what you need to know. This is in the USA Today. This league has a long-term business play that isn't based on ticket sales or TV ratings, unlike the other traditional sports leagues. It's based on sports gambling data and technology.
Yes.
They're using the football as the public storefront and then at the laboratory, but their big money is going to be made through gambling and technology, and that's the incubator. In fact, Charlie Ebersole says, quote, "The real place where we make our revenue is in the back-end technology and how it can be sold to other partners." All right? He says a lot of what this business is about is being an iceberg. You see about 10% of the company's all about above water, but the real stuff is down below. He says investors are so bullish that they plan to spend $500 to $750 million in the next 5 years to get it off the ground. The investors include Silicon Valley venture capitalists, including Peter Thiel, MGM Resorts International, one of the biggest casino companies in the world. And to help develop the tech, the league has also hired the head engineer who developed Tesla.
That's pretty good.
This is what Dundon said. I'm in. So everybody thinks, oh my, they're about can't make payroll. This thing's about to fail. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Dundon doesn't put in money on something like that if it's going to fail. And I think the NFL is going to have to join in or they better watch out. And I didn't have that opinion 24 hours ago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.